This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Anime Cult. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined today, as always, by my other two fantastic hosts, Dodger and Indy. How's it going?
Bing bong.
Bing, bing bong.
Hello.
Indy's older now. Congratulations.
Yay.
Thank you. Yeah, 34. Oh, so rapidly.
You young man.
Oh, that's the first time I've ever heard that. A lot of my group of my friends are all younger than me, so it's good to have older people.
We're both a bit older than that, so
yeah, 40's coming close.
Good company.
40's coming real close. Yeah dude, it's listen, all those microplastics have preserved me in a permanently millennial way.
I mean, look, you don't look almost 40.
Excellent. I'm just gonna hit 50. I'm just gonna fast forward age. It's all gonna catch up.
It's gonna rapidly decline.
Welcome back, everybody. We since last we had an episode, we watched Odd Taxi, and Dodger, why don't you give us like a quick breakdown as to what Odd Taxi is kind of about before we really dive into it?
Surprise, dude.
Yeah, I
oh my goodness,
it's easy, right? It's pretty easy, actually. Like, I think.
Yeah. It's about a lovely sort of grumpy walrus taxi driver, and he's like deep in the city, and it's at first at least about him just bringing interesting people from point A to point B, but eventually he gets more entangled into their lives than I think he would like to have.
Yeah, I saw the art and I was like, wow, that's super adorable. And then I read like the tag for it and I'm like, oh, it sounds like a slice of life. This sounds really fun. Holy fuck, that wasn't what I was expecting at all. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Well, I remember you saying that you were a little bit concerned that this was going to be, you know, a taxi person of the week.
Yeah.
Each episode.
Yeah. But it seems like a perfect setup for that. It's like Animal Crossing, adorable. And like, I could easily see something like that being an actual show.
No, it was like, it was so beyond that.
Yeah. What did you think going into it, Indy?
This is a tough one.
I loved it, by the way, just to put that out there. Like, spoiler free.
It is incredibly well written.
Fucking like, super suggested. It was amazing.
Yeah. Intro, incredible. Didn't skip it once.
So good. Mainly,
it didn't give me an option to skip it, but that's
yeah, true.
That's the point.
But that's not here or there. It's fine.
Yeah. It was good. It was good. I think overall, I really, like, we won't get into to spoilers immediately off the bat, but I really want to go back and rewatch it with like the knowledge of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I typed a message.
I did not see that coming.
Really?
Yeah. I
can't wait to talk about it. Actually, yeah.
Yeah. But overall, it was like I'm not a big slice of life fan, so I was a little worried that's what it was gonna be, and it kind of did start out kind of like easy going, and I'm like, oh, here we go. But yeah, the intrigue and like the out of like the non-linear storytelling of this show is insane, and the writing for a show about animals driving taxis and like all the like the crime and there's some things I don't like about it, but I'll get into that a bit later. But overall, positive on Odd Taxi. there was an odd taxi. Actually, it was a pretty normal taxi.
It was a pretty normal taxi. The stuff going on around it was odd.
Yeah, maybe the driver's a little odd.
yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, we could talk about episode one to start. I mean, this is one of those series you could probably do episode by episode. But episode one was, like you said, kind of just like it came off very slice of life-y a little bit. There was a little bit of weirdness to it. Episode one was pretty just kind of an intro to like, here's the character, here's the world. It's fucking gorgeous. Here's a bunch of animals. And man, I can't imagine having to be like an animator on that show with every fucking character having to be a different goddamn animal. Like I was watching like the later episodes and that thought came to mind where I was just like, that feels like a lot of work. Like just like some of those just can't swap models and just quickly change. But yeah, just pretty straightforward. I don't really remember what, if anything, really happened in episode one too much.
I mean, I think the major thing that happens in episode one, right, is Kabosawa, I think his name is, mm-hmm. the social media guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
He gets in the car. They have this whole back and forth about the importance of like social media currency, right? Like you are online. It God, sort of gives us like a taste of our main characters. Yeah,
things we cannot relate to.
Yeah, totally. we get like the sort of disgruntled, like, I don't really care about that, right? We get this vibe of like, I don't really care what people think of me. I'm just trying to live my life from our main guy. And they take the selfie, right? That has the man.
Bad monkey man in the background.
The monkey man in the background.
That's right. That's where it ends.
That's sort of like the major catalyst, I think.
I think that moment, actually, I was like, oh, there's going to be something else to this. There's something else going on.
I believe we also learn that there's a girl missing.
Yes.
In the first episode.
Yes.
Yeah, that's like the first thing we kind of get.
And it very quickly insinuated that our main character may have kidnapped them. But obviously, we'll get to that. I think episode two... Was it the one I sent a message? I sent a message to the chat where I was like, I just watched episode two or something. And I'm like, I have a crazy theory.
I watched four in one go.
Okay.
Right after our Death Note podcast. Mm. So the first four are kind of, that was a while ago and a lot has happened since then. So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I remember the story beats, but yeah, like a lot of the, like specifics of those first ones.
So I'm trying. Yeah. Yeah.
Escaping me. Yeah.
I'm scrolling back too. Cause if it was episode two, it was the episode where it ends with, the alpaca. So it was like, we kind of think we meet his doctor in episode two, who is a giant gorilla man. Mm-hmm. And, his like nurse assistant, which is a llama or an alpaca. I think it's an alpaca. Super adorable. Super friendly. Yeah, they're asking questions. They kind of insinuate that there's something going on with our walrus guy. Like he has a hard time sleeping, which is like something that I'm trying to work on, but also kind of vaguely hint that there's like some past illness or something that he's like, they've been working with. And I think it's at the end of episode two, again, it was more kind of just him doing his taxi bit, but the alpaca takes a bunch of drugs out and like,
she's stealing drugs from the pharmacy. I don't know if it's one of the early episodes where we also are given like a, like what's in his other room or what's in his like walk-in cabinet. Like it opens and he's like talking
where he's
to just the wall.
Talking
and that's
to
like
someone.
The mystery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's talking to someone. Yeah.
That's where you're like, oh, so
that's like another mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah. And linked with the missing girl, you're like, okay, maybe this guy is a sick freak and he's like pretending to be innocent in his taxi.
But the way that he talks to whoever's in there, right, is very like, you don't have to stay here. You can leave whenever you want. So I was sitting there going, maybe it is her, but she's run away. And he's been
that's
like,
exactly what I thought too. I had that exact same thought.
Yeah. And he was like, you can stay here if you want. I'm just not going to be involved in whatever it is that you're doing. But like, if you need to get away, if you need to be safe, then fine, you can stay with me. I thought that that might be what's going on.
We were not close.
No, not at all. And even towards the end, when he was taping up a broken window and he said, no escaping now, I'm like, hang on a second, bro.
There were a lot of things. Man, they purposefully put so many one-liners in there to make you be like, huh?
Yeah. Yes. We also kind of learn his buddy, the what is his name again? The monkey friend
the
he
monkey
has.
The monkey guy. There are two the monkey names, guys. There's
two
monkey
guys.
Guy
not
mean
monkey.
Monkey
names,
guy.
Nice monkey. We also kind of learn like he's, you know, we meet the kangaroo in the local bar they tend to go to and they're kind of down on their luck, like just blue collar workers. And our dear monkey man has a Tinder addiction as well, where he is just swiping through. And he's like, I think they mentioned that he's like 41. He's like in his 40s. And this 18-year-old fucking cat lady like says yes. And immediately is like, I'm very uncomfortable.
She only says yes after he changes his income.
That's right. He changed his profile to be mega rich and
he had
shit.
His like real income, and then he adds like a few zeros, and that's when like the yeses start coming.
Yeah.
I was really curious where that was going to go. That was another thing that went in a direction I was not expecting.
Yeah, that was so, because immediately I was just grossed out. I was like,
same.
Really? Like 1840, we're going to do this?
Come on.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, man. And he's just like all excited about it. I'm like, that's just weird. But yeah, it goes in like, you know, the next few episodes happen and we start to see the plot really start to build. This all, like you said, kind of all goes back to episode one with that monkey man and his whole tie in to, this
bad
kind
monkey
of
man,
bad for, monkey for man, the not listeners. Good monkey man, bad monkey man.
Baboon? Is he a baboon? Maybe that's easier.
Yeah. Is
what
he?
Kind
yeah,
of monkeys are like they? It.
Yeah. Good question. Hang on. Indy's doing some research. I can see him typing away right now.
Dobu is the...
Dobu, yeah, yeah. That's the bad man. Bad monkey man.
Goriki is the...
Good monkey man?
Doctor, yeah.
Oh, okay, Goriki good doctor. What's his gorilla. Friend's name?
Which one? The monkey?
Yeah, the good monkey.
Kakehana.
Kakehana, that's right.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is where we start to see, like, as we kind of go episodes 4, 5, and 6, we start to see this, like, a lot of depth to this fucking plot. And it really boils around... basically this baboon, I guess we were, what was his name again? God damn it.
Dobu. Yeah.
Dobu. I want to say Dubai. I'm like, that's a place you go. That's not a no. Dobu. and like that picture they took early on, which kind of ties into this giant crime ring that is just involved in bust fucking all kinds of different schemes. We also meet the, Pop Girl, the dog girl, which I can't remember her
Hokkaido.
Name. Hokkaido. And they're like...
Mystery Kiss.
Yeah. And in real commentary on like that industry in Japan.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. I was just like, I think it's episode 4 or 5. I looked at Jess and I'm like, what the fuck are we watching? I was like, what is this? And then it ends every episode ends with this upbeat ass fucking like light poppy ass song. And I'm like, I'm so confused. I'm emotionally confused.
Yeah.
It is one of the realest looks into like that side of Tokyo that like for how this show looks and how it perceives itself going in. I'm like, this is incredibly real. This is like one of the most real shows.
And when it started getting dark, I started wondering if what we were seeing was real. I mean, just, you know, we're going to go into spoilers, but like in episode 2, we learned she took drugs and she took like psychoactive or something drugs, something along those lines. I think that was the word. My random theory at the time was, are they dosing this guy with these drugs and he's hallucinating that everybody is an animal? And that's what's going on. That was my bonkers.
Damn, you got that by episode 2?
Yes, that was that when they, because it was all based on the kind of drug she took, which was like. So, and she was acting all sketchy in the back of the taxi and she kept looking at him, side-eyeing. I'm like, the fuck is going on? She was just being nervous now that we, you know, as we got on, but that was my initial go. But as we kept going into it and shit got darker and darker, I really was like, is everybody really animals? Like, I don't understand. Like, it's so dark and there's like, so it's all real crime and real like pop industry shit. And I'm like, but it's so cute and I don't understand. And like the dichotomy was driving me nuts. And they kept making more implications that that was true because they kept asking the doctor, the monkey doctor would ask our walrus friend what he looked like to him at one point. And he's like, what do you mean? You look like a gorilla. And he'd be like, huh, interesting. Blah, blah, blah. And like write that down. I'm like,
oh my like, God.
You
I
never noticed
thought
that?
About that.
Oh, that was early on. They like, he wrote that down. I'm like, interesting. Like why every time they mention it and bring it up, they're consistently kind of being vague about, okay, why do you see this? Okay, interesting. And then they started noticing that he started remembering everybody's face from the back of their head and stuff. And the reason, like, that's where I was like, oh, is it because it's not like he has a fascinating memory. He just sees everybody as a uniquely different animal. And that's why.
Oh, yeah, I didn't understand. Link that together until right now that everyone's always mentioning how he knows, like as soon as he sees a face, he knows exactly who you are.
But unless he sees your face, you're just a blind nobody to him.
Yeah, yeah. That's because different animals are so easy to tell apart. That's why.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's why I was like, it was crazy when they show pictures and I'm like, when they didn't understand how he could do it, I was like, oh, okay. he clearly, the reason we're seeing animals is because of him. I just didn't know why. And that wasn't made clear until
man,
the end.
What a crazy like clock immediately for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm always on edge, man. I'm
like, your crazy theory is just like,
dude, in the last episode when they were like spelling it out for us, I was like, what?
Really?
I was
wow.
Fully thrown.
I looked at Jess and I said, because we were through, I was like, when we see the real thing, I'm like, I hope what they do is like a stark art style change. I would love to go from cute animal to harsh, like almost like Death Note style, kind of just like, and they didn't go that route, but that was like my pitch and hope early on. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Dodger.
No, that's okay. What I was going to say is I think if you've watched stuff like Beastars, I don't think you necessarily question this like, we're going to tell a dark story, but we're going to use animals.
Yeah, I've never seen
that. So that it's
that.
More palatable, or so that we can talk about like different themes.
A pretty common thing, like just animal people. Like,
my ignorance was allowed me to like peer through the curtains.
You were able to think outside of the box because you were like, why would they use animals for this? It makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm the whole time like, I don't understand. It's so real.
Even things like BoJack.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
It has animals in their world, and that's just normal, yeah.
Yeah, but like this, I don't know, there's something about the way it was, it just looked very Studio Ghibli, and it was so up and poppy the first couple episodes, but it very quickly just was like, the fuck is, the cops were fucked up, like, that was like a weird
Two
thing.
Two brothers, yeah.
But yeah, sorry.
I was going to say, the Diamond Brothers were people that we also met in the very first episode. They're like identical brothers, except one of them wears glasses. And the glasses one is a sweet boy who wants to be a good cop. And the other one is like 100% a corrupt like piece of shit.
Yes. Yes. yeah. So, yeah, take it away. What happens? Like, I don't know, episode 6 is when we start getting introduced to the psycho. There were a couple episodes mid season that were actually just full flashback episodes. There's two of them.
Yeah. That was like backstory. Like the guy with his gacha game and his eraser collection. That is such a good episode.
I remember that was another episode where I was like, I looked at Jess like, what the fuck is this going on? Like, what?
Yeah. Looking back on it, I'm like, that is such a good episode with how it all links together. But at the time, I'm like, yeah. I don't care. Like, why? I was invested in this other like taxi guy. Why are you telling me about this guy who's like upset that he can't get gut, like his gut
until the very last, like, yeah.
And then it all links back. Like, people, like I looked up like someone talking about it. And them saying it's written like an old Tarantino movie is very apt, like a Pulp Fiction, where it's just like nothing really, it's just told all out of sequence and like none of it really makes a lot of sense until you link it all up at the end. Yeah. But yeah, that's, I think it was incredibly well written. But yeah, I really like that. He's like trying to get a raises at school and he like bids on one from someone and someone outbids him, which turns out to be,
so
was it confessed?
Well, it was a single eraser. It was like one ever made, and he had to went on this bidding war with somebody that forced him to go all the way up to like 100,000 yen or whatever, use his dad's credit card. He won, but they never sent him the eraser because they just took the money.
His dad was extremely
and
upset
beat the and fuck out of him the and then out of beat him, the hell out of his son. And I'm just, and it was just very visceral.
And then he finally gets his gacha game animal, and the odd taxi drives like past him and he drops his phone and it breaks and falls there and he like loses it. I'm like, man, this man deserves like his like the reason he's just lost.
Yeah, and I did think that it was interesting, like he's very self-aware in some ways, like when he's telling his backstory, so to speak. You know, he's very like, I couldn't pay attention, I like was constantly seeking like dopamine, right? Like I needed something constantly to be like, yes, 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 you know. But it was to such an extreme level that he couldn't, if something was doing that for him, he couldn't care about anything else, right?
Yeah.
So first it was the erasers, and then it turned into this gacha game, and his like work fell to pieces, his social life didn't exist anymore, right? And so because like everything for him was this weird game on his phone, he just snapped. And like, I want to be upset about the trope of this person's mentally ill, so of course they're going to be like a psycho killer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's to such like a like extreme the way that they depict this person's like obsession, right?
It's nuts. It was funny, like watching that episode of his obsession reminded me of my high school friend who in college got so addicted to World of Warcraft. He skipped an entire year. Like, he lived in the dorms, but skipped an entire year of college, almost got kicked out. Like, his fucking life fell apart because of World of Warcraft, and he had to make hard changes. He didn't, you know, get a gacha game and they get hit by a taxi and go trying to shoot the guy. But, you know, he lost a year of college.
Right.
Yeah, like we were talking about, like a show about a walrus driving a taxi. We are linked to these characters.
Yeah.
Like, some way. Like, they all have these vices that we're like, oh, shit. Like, with the social media guy, we're like, oh, shit, that's us.
Yeah.
And then if we've had, like, an addiction to video games, yeah, which I'm sure
we like, oh, God
have
damn
in
it.
The past, we're like, oh, shit, that's us too.
And, you know, to not to this degree, but, like, how many people in our industry have we seen sacrifice fucking anything for numbers or fame in terms of, like, just, like, the pop industry just reminds you people who just, like, step on anybody for success. It doesn't fucking matter. Just use people. And it's just like, yeah, that's in our industry,
totally.
Too.
And that winds up being a theme in this show for sure, right? Yeah, it's like just, like, the different people being willing to do anything to achieve what they think they need, right?
Yeah.
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 And the failing comedians, like, yes, the radio,
like
the Homo sapiens,
the Homo sapiens.
That was another one. I was like, maybe they are animals. Like, there were enough things going that was like, maybe they are animals. Like,
that's why I want to rewatch it, because now with that knowledge, I'm like, how many times? It's got to be zero, because
as early as episode two,
yeah, like, but outside
they were hinting at
the walrus perspective, like, how many times did they mention animals or anything?
Never.
Like,
never.
It's got to be zero.
No,
yeah.
It's literally only zero. Because I was at that whack ass theory, I was clocking it. They never, okay, ever, like, ever mentioned any other animals. Only when they ask him specifically what he sees.
Yeah, because he calls the girl an alpaca when he's talking to somebody else at one point.
Yeah.
Because that was the first thing I thought of, was like, but he calls her an alpaca.
Yeah.
But I think he calls her an alpaca to his doctor who knows that he sees stuff, right? So
the other thing was like, they were eating meat, and I'm like, that's weird, like, they're eating meat to me, and that clocked for me too. And then they started at the end, they showed him the picture of the bird. I was like, that makes no sense.
When he's driving and he almost hits a cat, I was like, why are there normal ass cats in this world? And then it all made sense.
Yeah, like with the zoo at the, like, near the end as well, where he goes to the zoo. I'm like, why is there a zoo? Like, there's going to be walruses in there or something.
Yeah. It makes no sense. Yeah, there's a lot there. Again, it goes to what you said, and you were like, excellently written. Like, from the very beginning, they're hinting at it, and she's like, it's well worth a rewatch.
This is one of those shows that you can tell it was planned beginning to end and just thought out completely. Every detail. There's no like, oh, we'll worry about that when we get to episode. I thought this was going to be 12 episodes, not 13. So I watched 12. I'm like, well, that kind of sucked. That's the ending. There's got to be a season two, but I saw episode 13, which pulled it all together.
It'd be hilarious if you never saw it and you showed up to this episode and you're just like, I just don't understand.
I'm like, what the hell are you guys talking about? They're animals.
Can I do a call out post for myself?
Please.
So a couple of weeks ago, Indy was in my chat while I was streaming and was like, hey man, Odd Taxi, huh? And I was like, I haven't started it yet. And he was like, what do you mean you haven't started it yet? I was like, it's only like, what, 12 episodes? Like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be really easy, because I didn't expect it to be this like
dark ass
crazy woven storyline. And if I stopped paying attention for a second, I'd be like, wait a minute.
Yes, dude. Yes. I can only do a couple episodes. I'm like, I need to sleep.
Yeah. I rocked up to a chat as the fucking anime police. I'm like, just get watching. What are you doing?
And if the conversation seems kind of all over the place, it's because there's no real main plot. I mean, there is the main crime plot. Yeah. With him, we eventually get introduced to somebody he's the Dobu's working with, which is the rapping porcupine.
I did not like him.
I hated him so much.
Wow. Unanimous. That fucking, he
sucked. That took me out of like the serious show. I'm like,
yes,
there's no way this would be a mob boss in a world that is so grounded.
Yes. He's like, too goofy. I agree.
Yeah, he fits in the world that is actually animals.
Yeah. I'm like, this, I hated every word that came out of his mouth, and I couldn't take it seriously as like a threat. So that was one of the things that I disliked at the startup, whenever he's getting
the other
introduced.
Thing that made more sense once they revealed that everybody wasn't actually an animal is that I was like, man, adoption must be huge, because because like people would be like, this is my dad or this is my child, or they'd show a family and I'd be like, they're all different animals.
Yeah. Yeah. That was another thing that I clocked. I was like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. There's no way. Like this, it makes no sense.
Yeah. Donraku or whatever. The old baboon man.
Yes,
his daughter was the missing cat girl.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Interesting.
Yeah, I just assumed adoption at that point.
Yeah, me too.
They must be adopted, yeah.
And the reason we get introduced to Porcupine Crime Leader is because Kakashano, a friend monkey. So he does swipe right, like this 18-year-old girl ends up like wanting to hang out with him, and he takes her to this because he's supposedly rich. He's lied on his profiles, this massively fucking fancy restaurant with a nice suit on and everything. And the whole time she's sitting there on her phone, wholly disinterested. And when you see her, you're like, oh, she looks familiar. It's because she's one of the pop
mystery
group,
kiss girls,
the mystery kiss members. The whole time she's just seemingly bored unless she's like interested about money or what he owns. But he just refused to be to see the truth. Like he was just, he's selling himself the lie. He was just so excited.
He already had like a wedding ring at that.
Yes.
What was his plan?
18 and 41. First of all, again, fucking no, bro. Don't do that. You almost deserve what happened to you a little bit. But you're like, he's not making a lot of money. You very quickly find out in that episode, I think, or the episode after, it's because he's taking loans out from loan sharks, like to pay for all this. And she's running a fucking badger scam is what they call it.
A badger scam,
which is like catfishing somebody to drain them of their money via.
Yeah, basically, you find out pretty quickly that like all of the members of Mystery Kiss are having to do something with the mob. In some way. I guess the way to sort of like sum it up is there's this band called Mystery Kiss. One of the girls goes missing, but nobody knows because she's been replaced by a very similarly looking girl who is not as talented, but looks almost identical aside from her face. And so all but the main girl wear masks so that nobody knows that there's anything wrong with the band, right?
She takes the missing girl's name too, right?
Yes. Yeah. She fully is like, I'll just become her basically.
Fantastic.
And that sort of leads into the commentary we get on the industry where they're like, yeah, she's missing. Yeah, something's wrong, but we're just going to pretend something isn't wrong because we're about to debut and we can't have anything mess with our debut, right?
Yep.
So come to find out that... she was killed.
She was dead in the river.
She was dead.
That reveal was another one where I was like, good God.
The main girl of the group, Nikaido, stumbles onto her dead and doesn't know what to do because she actually was so upset about like sort of the role dynamic in the group that she admitted that she had been thinking about killing her. Right.
Yeah, I understood that she was on her way there to kill her herself anyway.
Yeah. She was like, I was going to demand that she step down basically. But was fantasizing about killing her basically so that she would still be the lead of the group.
Yeah.
But stumbled onto her dead body, called their manager, who is this weird man.
They're just all weird,
aren't
they?
And he showed up and was like, we got to deal with the body. So, because they didn't want it to mess with the debut.
Yeah, so they call the mob.
So they call the mob.
Which is hooked up to Bad Monkey Man, and they think it's all connected.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we forgot about the super obsessive fan who won the lottery as well with the specific numbers.
The only mostly innocent character.
Yeah.
Who just kind of is a victim.
Except when he's like, I'm going to save this ticket. I'm like, what are you doing? Well, this is going to go so badly.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, Great mission. Go to iqbar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all iqbar products plus free shipping. That's iqbar.com, promo code KELLER20.
Which it does. The mob gets involved. Yeah. I think the mob gets involved is a good like line for this show.
The mob gets involved in
everything. Yeah. So the super fan wins the lottery. And again, looping back into social media, posts a picture of himself with the lottery ticket and is like, guess what, guys? I won the lottery. And so then the mob is like, nice, that kid's got a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like a billion, takes an interest in him. Dobu takes an interest in him.
And then the hippo from the very first episode takes a storyline where he jumps and becomes like a YouTube guy who's crime hunting the monkey man in the background of a selfie with the odd taxi guy and gets mega popular, fucking rich as hell, and starts banging like models. It's such a weird fucking story. I don't know.
His side story is crazy. Like, when they like flash to him in like this swanky apartment he's bought with like membership money because he started like a membership scheme with his YouTube.
And then he gets mad and yells at
him
and slaps him in the face. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Yeah. So everything ties back to the mob. And basically Dobu, who kind of uses the odd taxi guy a few times, I just think he sees the walrus guy just like as non-threatening and kind of just this non-entity. So his guard gets let down. He almost kind of like lets him get away with some things when he should have killed him in the first place. And he starts bringing him in on these plans. And basically Odd Taxi comes from the name of the big bank robbing plan that he has set up, where basically he's going to be the getaway driver. And because he's a taxi, that's going to be kind of in a weird place at a weird time, Odd Taxi. And that is the name of the bank robbing plan.
When they said that out loud, I'm like, there it is.
Roll
credits. He said Odd Taxi.
He said it.
And it there. And that's like the last like three of the final four episodes is like that whole plan where Dobu is basically trying to fuck everybody involved in this bank robbing plan, get all the money for himself and share a bit with the walrus guy. And he's not having it. All the while, like, we think he may have this girl kidnapped before we realize she's dead. He's also like very justice oriented, I guess is the way to word it.
Dobu?
No, Arakawa, the main character.
Oh, Arakawa.
Arakawa. Yeah. And he's like always agreeing to do these things with Dobu, but also being like, nah, I'm going to fuck him in the end and I'm going to find a way to get them all.
I think he realizes, especially like when his best friend gets captured, right? Because they think he's a rich dude. And he knows that the alpaca girl is basically like in debt to Dobu for life because he's like blackmailing her and like all this stuff. I think he is like, I'm gonna do stuff with this guy and hopefully find my moment to like help, right? So if I recall correctly makes a deal with him like, hey, if I help you with this bank robbery, I need you to like help me get my best friend, and I also need you to help like let what's her butt alpaca girl go.
He agrees to doing all that as well. And like we also have in terms of Mystery Kiss, the lead singer of Mystery Kiss is also ends up dating one of the members of the comedy duo Homo Sapiens.
Yes, that was oddly wholesome.
I was gonna say, which was like they had a cute relationship, I think. And their whole comedy duo storyline takes a very real turn when like they're trying to go through this tournament of like contest, and one refuses to change with the times while the other one's like, we got to do more other things, and they kind of split, and it's like a messy split, and it's like a friendship.
One sells out to like ads.
Yes, one
like,
gets picked up essentially. Yeah, the one that he gets picked up to, like you said, by ads and like this TV show that he gets. That's how he starts dating the lead singer of Mystery Kiss, while the other one is trying to still make it as a comedian, but refuses, like you said, he's the bore. He's like the grumpy old bore, doesn't want to change, doesn't like the new shit.
They're teen super fan.
Yes.
The giraffe.
Yeah, he's like, I can help you be fun.
I can make you great.
Just let me. That's like a convention sometimes, like back in the day.
So funny.
Showing up. I can be great if you just let me work with you. Yeah.
Gone are those days.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm far, far beyond my prime now. Yeah, that's like, there's a million stories going on. But eventually we learn as we go, you know, he goes through all this giant crime scheme. He how does he end up? He gets rammed off the road. I forget the lead up to like what happens there, though.
They had all the briefcases in there.
Was it Porcupine Man was chasing him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Porcupine gets them.
So yeah, Dobu, basically his plan to fuck everybody goes great. He gets all the money, gets in the cab with Otakawa, and they go. But Porcupine Man catches on to it because they were like, the cops, the dirty cop held the Porcupine Man off to the side for long enough for them to get away. And then they realize they got fucked. And so they're going after him. They're trying to ram him off the road. They succeed, or Odd Taxi guy tries to ram off the road, Otakawa. Either way.
I mean, it all ends with that final big scene where he like goes off the end of the bridge, right?
Well, wait.
That was so good.
You guys are forgetting that they get away, pull into the parking lot, and then freaking Gotcha Boy Tanaka shows up shoots Dobu because he finds out Dobu's that he's like, the dude that fucked him out of his eraser when he was a kid.
Yeah. He's like, I counted your bullets. You don't have any. And he just shoots. And he's like, I had another bullet.
Yeah, that's what I was like, bro, that is such a confident take to be like, right. He definitely
this man doesn't know how to buy bullets.
Yeah, you know, he looked in his own like six shooter revolver and counted how many bullets he had left. Like, come on. So yeah, he gets shot out of his own cockiness and he starts bleeding out. I thought he was going to die. I thought I was like, oh shit, this is it.
I mean,
for this
Otakawa
guy.
Was fully like,
he's like, karma got you, bitch. Sorry, bye.
Yeah.
And the influencer turns up as well and like gets Dobu, scares him straight and gets him to record. Like, I'm going to quit. I don't want to do this anymore.
He got his fancy car and like all this.
Oh my God, that's right. He was like, you can have my apartment.
He's like, sweet, I guess I'll let you live. Yeah.
I was expecting him to be like, put that show on to Dobu and then immediately turn back to his like usual self.
Dobu seemed he had like his own set of like principles that he did stick to, and like he said, he doesn't kill unless he absolutely has no choice. Like, he prefers not to.
I really like Dobu.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, he was an interesting character for sure.
So yeah, the final chase happens and Otakawa gets rammed off the road, and as he goes careening into the water, you know, we get the flashback and we learn everything. All the while, the past episode, his doctor went to his childhood home and is speaking with the like the orphanage that raised him, because we kind of learned that he was at a young age given over to an orphanage. And it was very quickly some nameless caretaker kind of like paid for him to like live a full life with like an apartment and everything. And he's been trying to pay that debt back over time. But yeah, as he goes off and he hits the water, he has like a traumatic flashback. And we learn, yeah, everybody's a human.
They're all humans.
Everybody is not an animal.
It's like the Inception car going through the air as like all this stuff happens. And like every single character we've ever met just happens like to have their story like end around that location. And they all just look at the odd taxi, just delve into the water, including, we haven't mentioned, but the alpaca lady's kick dance move.
Oh my God.
That is some good stuff.
What is that called? The Brazilian? I forgot.
When she's doing capoeira.
Capoeira, that's what it is. Good. She does it every time. I was just like, oh God.
Isn't that how she gets the door off of like the
tank? Yes, it is underwater. And I'm like, that doesn't work. Physics don't work like that, but okay. Yeah, so he goes creaming into the water. And throughout the series, they talk about his parents a bit. He says they've just gone or missing. And everybody kind of acts when he says that, just like lets it stand. But you can tell they're like, that can't be fully true. And we learned that when he was a kid, there was a bad accident and he gets sent into the car with his parents, gets sent into the water. Did his mom drive off on purpose?
That's unclear. They believe that it was like a double suicide or a murder suicide on the part of whoever was driving the car. The
parental situation was not a pleasant one, it sounded like.
No, it was a very bad abusive home life for him.
He was always made fun of for the way he looked. You know, we learned that he's always been kind of a bigger kid. He's always kind of just made fun of for his stature, and it made him really shy, and he just had a hard time talking to people. It's kind of almost like it sounded like he was almost selectively mute sometimes, or just couldn't talk to people. And then at home, his dad was abusive and like his mom was depressed clearly, and it's like shit was just bad at the home. And like you said, they kind of imply, or at least leave it up. I took it that like she may have been, you know, murder suiciding her family. Like I've read on the news and we've all probably read on the news in the past. And as the car went in, he was happy, I think he said, like, for the, he was happy on the drive. He was finally happy on the drive because, like, the mom seemed at peace and the dad was asleep and everything was good. And so, yeah, as they go into the water, the parents end up dying in the accident, but he is saved. And in that trauma, when he, like, came out of his kind of, he had like a temporary coma, I think, from like that. When he came out of it, he had made a wish that he was good. He wanted to be like a walrus, or just like, or just let me be like an animal. When he woke up, he saw everybody, including himself, as he saw himself as a walrus, and everybody else was animals. And he believed that his wish had come true. And the memory of the accident was just how brains, it's fascinating how real this is as well. And like, the memory of the accident was completely forgotten. You know, the brain kind of just blacked it out. And in its place, parents are just gone. They'll be back. I don't know when. And that's kind of how he lived his life.
Yeah. He also said that when he was a kid, like, his dad would go off to do like whatever, and would just drop him off at the zoo and be like, I'm going to go, you know, make out with somebody. You stay at the zoo. Don't tell your mom, basically. And would just leave him there all day. And so he like had a lot of like comfort around the animals at the zoo.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to go bang my girl. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So everybody's animals. He'd been then just kind of, that's how he lived. It just traumatically, just his brain did what it had to do. And he saw everybody's animals. And now in this accident, as the car is going back into the water, it kind of all comes back to him. And we see him as he is. And we see the rest of the cast as they are.
That was such a good bit.
So cool. Yeah.
Like, just seeing everyone as they're normal.
The monkey man still kind of, the gorilla doctor kind of still looked like a gorilla. I even said, like, he still
have like the same body shape as their animal. Yeah. Yeah. Like, while watching this, this is probably going to be a hot take. I'm just not a fan of animal shows, like humanoid animal shows. I'm like, I find it very hard to connect with any of the characters, no matter how well they're written. Cause I'm like, It's a talking gorilla. It's like, how much can I get out of this? So the whole time I'm like, this would be so much better. I'd love this show if it was just humans. And then that whole thing happened at the end. I'm like, well, now it doesn't even fucking work with them. They're all humans. So I can't even like,
they were humans.
I can't even like pretend like, oh, this would be better. It was all, they were just humans the whole time because I'd be able to get connected easier.
But no, it was all part
of
it.
Yeah, that twist was, I'd love to, I know it's a lot of work, but I would love to see them just animate from a normal perspective the whole show, of like not what he sees, or just like what everyone else is just not seeing normally. Yeah. And just having him like talk about walruses and stuff, and no one is an animal, or no one's like thinking about
it. Yeah, just on the other
side. That would be so sick.
I'm still thinking about the picture thing, because I was wondering if they were just going to be like, yeah, he's just got some weird form of synesthesia, right? Like, he just can always tell who he's looking at. And I was like, I guess I don't need that explained. But like, the explanation of, because he sees them as an animal.
Yeah.
Like, if animals look very different.
Is like messing with me, dude. Like, because as the viewer, right, when it's clearly a dog or something in the picture and everybody's like, who is that? Yeah. As the viewer, you're like, come on, guys. Like,
yeah, I've met him in one scene and I remember that guy.
Looking back, it's actually so funny. Like, that just looked like a dude to everybody else.
Some dude's head.
You show us a photograph of just a white dude, we're like, God knows, I don't know who that is. But if it was like a dog man, I'm like, oh yeah, that's dog man. I remember dog man.
It all
of
makes
course,
sense.
Naturally.
Yeah, and when he was when he saw everybody's animals, it alleviated his anxiety. He could talk to people again. He could live a life. He could drive a taxi. He can converse with people. Luckily, when he wakes up again after this accident, which he is saved by Alpaca Woman doing capoeira under the water to break the window and saving him. You know, he wakes up and he sees everybody as they are, and he can talk to them. And he's like, he realizes that and whatnot. And it's, we kind of like, as we move towards the end, it feels like a very solid conclusion. And except we get a reveal at the end. As we're moving towards the end, he's kind of keeling and all. Everybody's like, you know, his friend, he rescued his friend from the crime ring that like kidnapped him for the money from the Badger scheme. Everybody's kind of going back to their lives, and he's like picking up extra jobs to pay back the debt he has and all that shit. We get a scene of how that member of Mystery Kiss died, how she was there, and it was fucking brutal as well. It was that member who took her place, who was, because the way it works in Japan, I think South Korea as well, these pop icon groups are like curated. They're like created by like suits, and there's competitions like, okay, you get cut, who gets on, puts on the team essentially. And this individual was fourth place out of a 3-person squad team that they were trying to put together for Mystery Kiss. She was barely out of it. And so she ended up meeting up with that other cat and fucking strangling her to death, or following her to where she was going to meet with the main singer of Mystery Kiss, and then strangled her to death with the coldest look on her face of I don't give a fuck through the whole show. Everybody had a bit of humanity to them. This is the character that did not. Like, this one was, it was just cold serial killer shit, and that was wild.
Yeah, and I think it also worked really well because the way that she was sort of personified the whole time that we knew her,
yeah,
was just like, I'm just a simple girl who's so excited to be here. You know,
and she's kind of bad, and she stumbles over her own dances.
Oopsie doopsie. I'm so glad for this opportunity, you know? And it's like, bitch, what?
That reveal got me. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, but then, you know, because the throughout the whole show as well, there's this consistent reference to the person who went missing was in the back of his taxi at some point, and they're trying to get the footage to figure out who it is. But in reality, it was the other girl who was just looks like her. So he saw a black cat as well, slightly different, but not different enough where he could easily tell. So that's why he didn't know. And we learned that, like, and then at the very end, she's like trying to clean up her loose ends, and she gets into the fucking cab with him, Otakawa, and she's like, maybe gonna kill him. And the cab drives off, and that's the fucking end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
There's apparently a movie, by the way. Did you know that?
Oh, no.
There is a movie.
This is 2021, so this is like...
There's a movie. It tried to autoplay it for me, actually, immediately.
Oh, really?
I was told, like, I remember somebody
Odd
tweeting.
Taxi in the Woods?
Yep.
Is that it?
And I read...
A sequel?
It's a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, it's a 2-hour movie. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what it's about. I don't know. I just... I was told... Somebody on Twitter told me it was, like, not super... It was, like, okay. It wasn't great, but they had wished that they didn't do it. And I don't know what you do. Like, what do you do with this for a movie? Like,
yeah,
everybody's human now, but I think the movie is they're animals.
They're animals in the movie, it looks like.
Is it a prequel? Like, I don't know. It's weird, but that's there. It's for us to tackle at some point in the future. I thought you guys knew there was a movie. I'm surprised. Yeah. No, yeah.
Usually they play like the trailer for the series after you finished it. Like, cause that's just what it is at the end, like a 3-minute trailer. So I'm like, oh, there must be the trailer. But yeah, I had no idea there was an Odd Taxi movie.
Yeah. This came out in 2022. So it came out fucking soon after. It's based on the 2021 anime produced by OLM, blah, blah, blah. The plot of the film was described as a reconstruction of the events of the, okay. So it's the, it's a series retold. The end of the movie includes an expanded scene about. So yeah, there's an expanded scene about the end with the cab cliffhanger. So that might be worth seeing. But like, I don't know if I need to watch a movie restructuring the events of the series.
No
probably not. No. I mean, Dragon Ball Super did that as well with like the blue free, like the Resurrection F is just like the first 2 seasons of Super.
Gotcha.
And it just turned into a movie, and it's not as good as like just watching the full series. So yeah.
But yeah, that's Odd Taxi. Obviously there's like a lot of this other stuff going on. Like, I just suggest to watch it. Even if you are one of those people that likes to listen to the podcast, even if you don't watch the series, you just want to hear someone talk about it, break it down. Trust me, I do that with Red Letter Media all the time. But like, it's still worth going to see. There's a lot there. And like, even going, knowing the twist, because I'm not somebody who will watch a series usually more than once unless it's something I love. Like, even if you know the twist watching, now watch it with eyes open, looking, like, if even if it's your first time, look for all this. The signs are there the whole time, and it's like really well done.
I agree with Indy. I would love to rewatch this after watching the last episode.
God, it's so good, man. I like... I'm sure I will rewatch it at some point. It's so short.
It's just a lot of stuff happens. You cannot like half brain this one. It is.
No, I'm glad I started a little earlier because I had the same kind of sort of plan that you did, Dodger, where I was like, I'm just going to binge this shit. It's fucking 12 episodes. I'll do 6 episodes and 6 in like 2 days. No, after 2 episodes, I was like, okay, no, I need a break. I got to think about this shit.
Like, I watched the 4 in a row and I'm like, holy shit. So I watched 1 at a time each day after that.
Yeah.
Because there was no shot I was going to watch another 4 in a row.
Yeah, it was definitely difficult because I did slam it all out, and it was really hard to like follow all of what was going on.
Did you do it all in one day? Like how, like what was the period of time?
I did, I think, 9 episodes in one go. Holy and then shit. Did the rest. I know. It was a mistake. Don't do what I did, dear listener.
Just no, take your time. That's 9. I'm tired hearing it.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we can all say fucking recommend. Hell yes. Fucking, it was a great show. I loved it start to finish. And because I like slice of life stuff too. So even that first episode was really enjoyable. But really, it's an amazing series. I guess we can now go into like, hey, we're going to be doing a couple new things here. See if you guys want to be watching along with us. We're going to be watching 2 separate animes. I think we're going to be doing this going forward as well. We'll have one that's like a shorter 12 episode, you know, easy digestible one. And we'll be watching a longer one in the background that we'll kind of come around and talk about once we finish. The short one, which one is the short one?
Solo Leveling.
Solo Leveling.
I know nothing about it.
A pretty new one.
Fucking, yeah. What is Solo Leveling for the uninitiated?
Ooh, Indy, do you want to look up a summary?
Have you been, you've been watching it, Indy?
Yeah. It's, I saw 5.
Solo Leveling sounds like a video game made life kind of anime.
It is, if I recall correctly, it's based on a manhwa.
What's that mean?
Just a Korean manga.
Yeah. So it's a Korean.
Yeah. It's not a concept that, it's been done before, but it's done really well.
Excited.
All right, here's the summary I have on plot. In a world where hunters, human warriors who possess supernatural abilities, must battle deadly monsters to protect mankind from certain annihilation, a notoriously weak hunter named Sung Jin-woo finds himself at a seemingly endless struggle for survival. So yeah, it's about this one guy who is like a hunter of these monsters who are trying to get into a modern world. Like, it's not fantasy or like anything like that. And he is just considered the weakest. Everyone knows he's the weakest. So when he groups up with them to go into these, what are essentially like dungeons of like, you got to kill all the monsters and then that portal closes and the world is safe from that dungeon. He is just pathetic. He is like one of the most pathetic. And it's good. They do not downplay it at all. He is like the most pathetic man you've ever met.
Finally, someone I can relate to.
Yeah, yeah. Like in the first episode, they go into this really low level dungeon. He can't kill like a single orc or like imp or anything. He needs help and he keeps getting wounded. Some stuff happens and he's like, he gets this opportunity to start grinding, solo leveling. And he takes it. And this man gets buff and like strong and he's like, his character changes completely and he grinds and grinds, gets all this really good gear. And that's about when I stopped watching. So like, it was just him getting incredibly overpowered from being the weakest person of all time. So I'm pretty sure it's like a shonen kind of thing of like,
I'm down.
And it's, yeah, there's going to be a second season. Is that right? So we'll be watching the first season.
I think so.
Of this?
Yeah, yeah. And all the, like, I bought some of the books and they are all completely colored as well. It is insane. Those, like, so yeah, I'll probably read it as well. But yeah, it's 12 episodes for season one. It was, for the first 5 episodes that I saw, it was super good. I didn't fall off because it was bad. There was none more out. And I like to wait for like it to finish so I don't have to watch one at a time because they're like 20 minutes long. But yeah.
It kind of reminds me of an anime. I don't know what, I think it's called Overlord. It's another one where like a guy gets pulled in and he becomes like the necromancer evil guy.
Overlord
of, like, the video
is fantastic.
Game.
We should definitely watch Overlord.
I've never seen it. My friend told me about it years ago. I'd love to watch it. Okay. So yeah, we're going to be watching Solo Leveling. And then the long anime we're going to be watching is
Psychopass.
I almost said Psychosis. And I was like, that's not right. I know nothing about Psychopass either.
Indy said this is in his top 5.
What year is Psychopass?
Let's have a look. Psychopass season 1.
It's pretty old, I think.
I feel like I've definitely heard the name before.
2012. So it's not that old.
I am also uninitiated to this, so pitch me, baby.
It's a crime thriller. Like, it's set in the future. So like everything is, but basically everyone has, all criminal, no matter who you are, you have like a crime level that is attached to you digitally, and you can't commit crimes without that going up, people realizing and putting you away. So everyone is, it's basically like seen as a perfect society where no one can do any crime because it's so connected to you personally. I mean, that's like the summary of it. And then it's just about the detectives, yeah, like looking up and finding all these people that are like their crime, they can kind of see everyone's crime level. So they see people's like spiking and they're like, okay, what the hell are they doing? And they have to send out this group of people who are also criminals. They use criminals as their like enforcers. That's what they call them, as like people with like to capture these, so they don't have to send out like innocent people to like protect. But yeah, it is incredible. It's like,
I'm excited
how dark and like grim it is. It's like, it's, yeah, like it's, I'm not sure where it is, but it is in my top five for sure.
It reminds me, we also got to watch, it's like a 13 episoder, but Serial Experiments Lane. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Oh my,
it's 1998.
God. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucked. It's a fucked up one, but it's like a good fucked up.
I love fucked up anime. That's, that's why I like what going into Odd Taxi, I'm like, oh, this is not going to be fucked up enough for me, but it was, it turns out.
Yeah, it's like, if I remember correctly, it's about a girl who gets has a weird connection to the internet and she gets like weird messages from dead people. It's weird. Anyway, all right, cool. That's it for us here at Anime Cult episode 4 or 5, or episode Odd Taxi. We'll be back soon. We'll be back soon with the breakdown of Solo Leveling. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I wave at the camera, but there's no camera.
I also wave at the camera. Like, I was just thinking to myself how silly that was.
Yeah. All right. Bye, everybody.